Hey everybody, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Microbrands. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. All right, today's guest is a very good friend of mine, Amazon seller, coach, and mentor, Regina Peterbursky. And Regina and I are going to be discussing her entrepreneurial journey as a solo mom, as well as we're going to be discussing a few other strategies, fourth quarter strategies, and what you can implement today. So before we get to Regina, we're going to be broadcasting. I want to tell you that we're broadcasting live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. If you're watching on my, if you're watching this as a replay, you can always skip ahead. If you're watching this on our personal or my personal Facebook page, you can always go over to Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy, and check out the whole episodes, as well as new content and video highlights we post every single day. And the person who posts has to be on here now. Kelsey, where are you?
Hello, my hello. Poster, yes.
The postmaster.
Yes, that is me.
Postmaster. Yes. Yep, Postmaster General.
So we've got some exciting news actually today. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're streaming to an extra place today. Where? We've got our Facebook group that we just launched.
Yes.
I synced it up to the StreamYard and we're going. So
that's very cool. So that was something we were going to talk about today, is we've had a lot of people asking us about this. So we've decided that we're going to create a Facebook group. What's it called, Kels?
It's called Lunch with Norm, Amazon and E-Commerce Collective.
There you go.
Yeah. Nice and short.
Amazon and E-Commerce Collective. Okay, yeah. Cool. And you can't miss it. It's got a big sandwich.
Yeah, that's right. So in the group, we just started like last night. I put it up. So we'll have like post discussions after each episode. Yep. We'll do a bunch of fun stuff. We'll do giveaways, get your insights on different things. So that's all brand new. So bear with
us. Show notes.
All any discount codes that guests provide us with, we'll put them in a master sheet, all that stuff. So it's a very exciting time. And if you're watching right now, please like and share. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok. We're up on everything. And we are an official podcast, so you can follow us. Just search Lunch with Norm, and you'll be able to find us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast.
And now a group. Yeah. I feel like and I'm now a real group. Boy now. I'm a real boy. Okay, as Geppetto said.
And Marina. Thank you, Marina.
Hey, Marina.
And let us know where you're watching from. Our guest today is from Australia, so... She's up
and
3 o'clock in the morning.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning. So she is a trooper.
So where are you watching from? We'd love to know. And say hi in the comments. I'll be posting or I'll be talking to everyone. So yeah, let us know.
All right. Very good. So just before we begin, if you do have any comments, throw them over into the comments section and we will definitely get to them during the podcast. If not, we'll be answering them afterwards. So sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy the show. Regina. Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
Oh, I'm awake.
I can't believe that you stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I didn't actually. I went to bed, had a little nap, and woke up.
You shouldn't say that.
my days of partying till 3, I think the last time I did it was when I was with you in LA.
That was crazy.
You know, I was thinking about this before, you know, as you go through life, there are certain days or nights or, hey, Laura, certain evenings in one's life that you always remember. And that night we had at the Mexican restaurant, I think is one of those nights that's deep in my memory of an event that I shall always treasure.
Oh, so, it was a lot of fun. And then heading over to Omni or whatever it was. What's that nightclub we ended up at and we closed? Oh, my God. Anyways,
I didn't stay for the nightclub. I didn't stay for the nightclub.
Oh, yes, you did. You did. I remember you. You might tell your daughter you didn't, but I remember you at the nightclub. All Right. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Oh, goodness. Well, I'm in Melbourne. We're sort of currently heading towards the end of the very the world's longest and toughest COVID shutdown. But we're getting there. Good morning, Oksana. I'm a solo parent. My daughter is 11. And so she's actually not been coping very well at all. It's been one of my challenges this year is my child's mental health, which is something that I never thought I'd be handling at this stage. I've been selling on Amazon for just over 5 years. I launched my first product in 2015.
What course did you go through?
ASM5.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah. I did ASM5 back in the day. And funnily enough, you know, I was chatting to a friend about, you know, courses that we never finish, you know, all the trainings that we buy and that we never finish. Oh. And funnily enough, ASM5 is the one that I've made the most money off, and I never finished it either.
No?
So, no, I think I got up to module four.
Yeah. I purchased a course through, I don't know if it was, we started off in the beta. AMM.
Oh, way back. Yes, way back before.
And then me and a buddy decided, oh, we'll go to one of their conferences, and it was good. I got one thing about Amazing, that I think they put out a good, like a really good product.
They do, absolutely.
They do. It's always quality. So if you're new, there's a bunch of different courses out there, and like I think. First thing I think of quality courses is the ASM course, A Freedom Ticket by Kevin King. I mean, there are some really great courses out there. And you know what? Just like you said, you paid for it. It wasn't free YouTube videos. This is free YouTube videos.
Oh yeah, no. Well, back then there wasn't free. But the thing that I liked about it, and people ask what did you do, is the way that ASM works, and also Freedom Ticket, which I love Kevin's stuff, is you follow the bouncing ball. You know, you do this module, you go away and do it. You watch the next videos, you go away and do it. And what I see these days is people just consuming lots and lots of content because there's so much more content out there now. They just consume, and then they get stuck. You know, they get this sort of a paralysis by analysis because there are so many, you know, gurus out there, you know, and everybody's got a different way to approach the situation. And if you sort of are following too many different approaches, you know, and some of them are at odds with each other. One person says, do this to find your product. Another person says, do that to find your product. And you can get like so confused and end up not doing anything. And I think the fact that I didn't know there was other information back then, I was, you know, ASM was the only game in town. And that's what I did. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to ride a very nice wave and do very, very well. So that's my sort of Amazon journey, I guess. And I'm still there. I'm still building businesses. I now also have my own podcast.
I was on that.
You were on there. What? I was just talking to Kelsey about a year or so ago. We talked about PRH, so that was really cool. So yes, I've had my podcast, but I don't think I've done as many episodes as you have in the last couple of months. You know, all up, I'm not nearly as productive.
See, that's what happens when you have the kids in the house and they're making you sit in front of a camera day after day. They're posting. They're, you know, it was actually great because we didn't know this was really a COVID project. And Danny McMillan also kind of gave me a boot to kind of do this as well. But it wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have had time because I travel. You travel a lot. Yep. But this is one of the advantages that happened during this time. But hey, you talked about shiny objects and tons of information. I noticed that Laura McCall was on.
Yes.
She's one of the owners over at Sponsor Profit.
Yes, and in fact, she's my next, I've already done the interview. I just need to publish it. She's my next podcast guest. Laura and I had a chat last week with her fabulous new software and what they're doing.
Yeah, and this is like she's in the same sort of boat because you've got all these Amazon sellers or even just e-com in general that there's so much information about the right way to do PPC, the wrong PPC way to do PPC.
PPC is such a big topic these days, and everybody's an expert. Except for me, I'm one of the few that says, you know, PPC, know nothing. Not going to give advice. So I talk to, you know, a few people that are recommended to me. Actually, I tend to go by other people's recommendations. And Laura was one of the people that was recommended to me by one of my people in my group who said, you know, they've used her services and they
think app.
That it's pretty cool in the app. So, but yes, so, PPC, so many out there. And I don't think any of them are wrong. I think it's just a matter of finding one that
tastes.
That works for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I was just going to say is a lot of people may make the mistake of trying to listen to too many people about one subject and then it clutters, you know, what you should be doing. And usually you can find one or two people, listen to them. You don't have to follow, you know, what was it? I'm not sure if it was Jason Flatlin or somebody was on stage talking about, you know, all the shiny objects and squirrel.
Jason. Yeah. I love Jason. He's one of my, he's very much one of my mentors and probably the main reason I never finished ASM because I started doing his stuff that he was doing aside from ASM. And I just love his stuff.
Yeah. He got me once or twice on his program for the same, about like Amazon or ASM through him. I think twice. But I know a lot of people have done that, so I don't feel like I got suckered. But anyways, he has great content too. But anyways, I just wanted to give a few shout outs here. So Marina, you know, from Toronto, and Laura, you know, welcome from the UK. Oksana, how are you?
Geez, I miss you. So many familiar names.
From all these conferences that we go to.
Yes.
And Yarrow. Baptiste, oh hey, how's it going? And I think Baptiste is out in the Singapore. And my old army buddy Dave Apperly, I just saw him pop up. Alok, hey all, everybody, just welcome to the show. Let's dig into this and let's get into the fourth quarter. And later on, we're going to be going into more of the entrepreneurial journey. But right now, we're in Prime Day.
Well, we're in Prime Day, and you know, I'm amazed that so many people are sort of watching the podcast. I thought everybody's just basically, you know, refreshing their Amazon app.
Well, that's what I'm doing on the side, but
it's you know, Prime Day, refresh. It's been a funny old year on Amazon. There's been a lot of losers, and there's been a lot of winners on Amazon. I think it's been pretty much how you've positioned yourself, what your products are. It's been a very interesting time. So,
well, let's go down that road. How did you position yourself differently this year going into Prime Day than other Prime Days?
Well, for me, this year has been scrambling for product, to be honest. You know, I sort of missed the boat on Chinese New Year. I had products in factories that were, you know, about to be completed just after Chinese New Year. And as we know, that's pretty much when everything went a little bit nuts. So for me this year, it's been challenged by not having enough product in and getting it, you know, on time. Because of course, you know, planes are not flying. So once the factories over there opened, we couldn't get them out of China. You know, the planes not flying. So then putting them on ships and things. So, and then, you know, Amazon shipping delays. It's all been lots of fun. So that's been my my challenge. How have I positioned myself differently? Basically, I chose not to participate in deals this year.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I cancelled one at the last minute, mostly because the products that I had the deals, it was just odd the way the deals that were offered to me this year was for not my best-selling products. So they weren't particularly well-ranked. And what I've found in past years is the Amazon deals that do well are for products that are already really well ranked. And then it's worth paying the, what is it, $500 this year, $750 last year for deals. So what I've done this year is more Prime exclusive discounts, which of course you're giving away margin, but you're not paying for deals on top of that. Right. And I'm sort of spending the money I would have otherwise spent on deals on driving traffic from Facebook and chatbots and emails. So outside traffic.
So are you using any form of social media to drive external traffic over to your listings?
Yes, I'm Facebook. That's pretty much the, for Facebook. That's where my customers live. You know, as I always say to people that I mentor, coach, you know, is find out where your customers are. So if they're on Pinterest, you know, go to Pinterest. If they're on YouTube, you know, we can't be jack of all trades. Not all of us have got sons that have come back who've got nothing to do and can get us across all the social media.
So
given that you know, I don't have a team, you know, I'm a solo, you know, solopreneur. I don't have a team, so I focus very much on Facebook. That's where my customers live, and I've spent years building up a Facebook page, you know, an interest page, and I do have a VA who posts on there. The last few years I've been very much working with chatbots, with, you know, doing all sorts of different coupon promotions, not just for ranking, but just for velocity and sales, you know, flash sales with chatbots. So that's what I use personally to drive traffic to my Amazon listing.
So I know we talked before the call about the chatbots, and we might bring it up a little bit later, but let's talk about that right now. So for fourth quarter, you were talking about your chatbot strategy before. Can you share with people what you're doing with chatbots to drive sales over to your listing?
Look, I'm not in launch phase at the moment. So I'm not doing all the big rebates that I actually teach people how to do rebates for launching. That's one of my things that I do. In fact, when we were in LA together, Amy Weiss encouraged me to put together a little training course, which I have done, you know, which basically is just a real plug and play for rebates. So I do a little bit of that, but I certainly don't do full price rebates anymore. I do, you know, 60%, 70% rebate if I'm going to do a rebate, or I do, you know, flash sales, and I use chatbots to do a, you know, 30% code, 20% code, just to get traffic up. So that's my strategy. I put a little ad up in the group saying, hey, would you like, you know, 30% off, click here, and then take them through a flow. And, you know, sometimes I do some really simple things, you know, like click here, get your code. And sometimes I do things a little bit more tricky and gamified with, you know, add to cart type things with mystery discounts, which I learned from one of the Dannys, who are the chatbot gurus, which I find is really cool. It's a really interesting strategy where you do a mystery discount code, and I load up 10% codes, 20% codes, 30% codes, and the customer actually has to put the product in the cart and apply the code in order to find out what the discount is. And so this is a very white hat way of getting an add to cart transaction. And then as some of us know, that somebody puts your product in their cart, even if they don't buy, that does have a little bit of ranking juice, because you know, Amazon bets on itself, doesn't it, with that if they can get you to add something to the cart, they will come and they'll stalk you until you actually buy it, right? So it does have ranking juice. So one of the bots that I love is this sort of mystery discount add to cart. And then I follow up with the customer sort of a couple of hours later saying, hey, did you get the code? Did you use the code? Yes or no? And if they say no, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's because they got one of the crappy 10% codes and they didn't want to use it. And in often in that case, you know, I'll say, you know, did you, you know, was it because the discount wasn't high enough? You know, I'm terribly sorry. Would you like it at half price? And then I'd send them through a rebate. Say if you'd like it at half, you know, so it's a rebate follow-up. So then you get the add to cart, the cart abandonment, followed by a saved cart, which, you know, it's a really nice, you know, very elegant way of, you know, doing some slightly tricky stuff that Amazon loves. So that's been one of my favorite strategies that I've used this year. So you get some people that use the 30% codes, mm-hmm. and then some people where you've rescued an abandoned cart with a rebate.
So you got it covered.
Yeah, you got it covered.
Are you using any of the niche-specific apps like Seller Chatbot, Seller Tools, you know, any of those?
Look, I do have Seller Chatbot. I have used Seller Tools. Look, I think the guys, what they're doing there is great. Mm-hmm. However, for me personally, it's too tricked out. You know, too many integrations. It sort of gets a little bit too complicated. And when something goes wrong, you can spend hours trying to figure it out. I try to keep it a little bit more simple. So, you know, I recommend them, you know, if you're a tech geek and know how to do all of that stuff, you know, APIs and, you know, click through here and integrate with that. It's too much for me. So the Seller Tools I personally don't use. However, I think it's great. Seller Chatbot, yes. I do use Seller Chatbot, and I also do most of my codes now through ManyChat. So I use a combination of ManyChat and Seller Chatbot. I think I was one of Danny's first customers there. So Danny, not Danny.
Paul Harvey.
Paul. Sorry, it's the Pauls that are the chatbot kings. There's two Pauls in the chatbot space, and I follow them both. I think I was very much Paul Harvey's first one of his first followers, and yes, I do use Seller Chatbot.
And of course, Paul Barron. So
and Paul Barron's the other one. Yes, yeah. he's working on his beard. It's not as good as yours, right?
Oh yeah, he's trying. Yeah. I think you might even be listening today, but anyways, yeah, with just, you know, to give a shout out to Paul Harvey, because mm-hmm. he does have a done for you service now with his app. And I know, and I've got to be completely transparent here. Paul Harvey or Paul Barron and I and Shane Oglo and Jason Ayers have started our own chat agency too, but it's a little bit different. It's more on the influencer base side, and
yes, I know Paul Barron does a lot in that space, so yeah, he's incredible. So he's the guy to go to for that stuff.
Yeah, I'm the absolutely. Guy with the beard, he's the guy with the brains, so but anyways, yeah, chatbots are 3 years ago people were talking about chatbots.
Oh, look, I had a look at my account, I've ran my first chatbot, and it was, you know, put together with tape and string, you know, 3.5 years ago. So I think I was one of the first sellers to actually start using them. I mean, now, you know, they're on everybody's lips, but I've been playing around with them for years, and I love them, absolutely love them. And I'm still to this day telling people to get onto it. You know, it's not the Wild West out there. You know, when we first started, it was like, you know, build your list, spam, you know, send, you know, spam your list, send people codes all the time. Of course, you know, you've got to be a little bit more clever as to how to do that these days, but you can still very much build your list, and you can still send messages through to your customers. You just have to be a little bit more judicious and a little bit more careful to, you know, how you do it, so you stay within Facebook's terms of service. So
let's talk about building a list. Is the time. Fourth quarter is definitely the time to build your list. Most people's sales are happening right now. Chatbot is definitely a way to build your list. Do you use any other form of traffic or any other strategies to build lists?
Look, again, and these strategies change. There was a time when I was doing email appends for my Amazon customers. You know, it's been probably a good 12, 18 months since we've been able to do that. However, one of the strategies that I think people might want to look at now is, because you can still download your customer data from Amazon. You can only do that going back 30 days. So is you can download your customer data and then upload it into Facebook to create custom audiences. And I love doing that. So you can create a custom audience of your customers and then, you know, advertise purely to that target segment, advertise only to them and invite them to either your chatbot list or, you know, landing page and collect their emails. So there are ways that you can, you know, again, white hat, access your customers. And then, of course, if you want to expand, you know, and do flash sales, you know, you create lookalike audiences from your actual Amazon customers. So it's a great way to make sure you're targeting the right people, because you can spend a lot of money on Facebook and get diddly squat for it, right? Yeah. So yeah, you've got to be very, very careful with your targeting for pretty much anything you're doing, right?
I like to share like a couple of things that we do. Like one of the things that we've started, one is a newsletter. Okay. But like I say at the end of every podcast, our newsletter does not suck. It is really good quality product. We share all the top, you know, top people in the business that talk about e-commerce, digital marketing, and there's really no advertising in it. We're doing it to provide content. And who knows, maybe there'll be a promotion in there one of these days. But anyways, the purpose of it was to provide high quality content, videos people can watch and get something out of. So an added value, and it works. As long as you're providing high quality or good quality value, no problem. You're building a list. The second part to this, and I don't know if you're doing, I shared this last week, I think, but because we're talking fourth quarter, it's important that one of the areas that we'll do is do exactly like you said. If you have either an email appends list or if you're just driving traffic over to your website, you drive traffic over to your website, you have like a pop-up that comes up, which has a product from Amazon with a product or some sort of added value. I think I used a shampoo bottle with a smaller bottle of conditioner. They can't get it on Amazon. They have to buy it there. They buy the product, you get the name, and then you give them the coupon code to buy another product for 10, 15, 20% off on Amazon. And now you've got two sales and the list that you can market to the person.
Beautiful. Yeah. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. So that's just, I mean, that's one way that we're gathering a list that we can target ongoing.
There's so many different ways to do it. And I do believe that if you've got a list of customers, you can, you know, use them to create sales. You use them for ranking. You know, if you need to do, you know, I did prior to Prime Day, one of the things I did was I emailed my customers with some pre-Prime Day promotions and, of course, used some some interesting links, you know, to get some ranking juice. And, you know, it's a win-win-win. Everybody's happy. The customers are happy. They've got a discount. I'm happy. I've got a bit of ranking juice. Amazon's happy. They've made money. You know, there's no losers here, right?
You're nailing it. Prime Day deals that you have, or pre Black Friday. First, it lets people know about it. They can buy the product early, maybe. You can give them a different discount on Prime Day. But you can do this with your. Do you ever do this with your website? Do run Prime Day, but it's not going to Amazon. It's going over to your website.
Yeah, I haven't done much with my website, to be honest, because all of my product is in Amazon. So I still have it. I still have to do an FBM listing. So I do have a website.
Yeah.
But I'm not really doing much with it, to be honest. It just sits there, and if I get a sale, great. But I know, you know, I don't have another 3PL, although I've got one coming for December. So my own Shopify site, I really haven't done a lot with. But I know there's so many things you can do and drive traffic, you know, and drive traffic to it. You know, I'm pretty much pure play Amazon.
Okay.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've now got Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and you know, everybody's talking about how December's going to be a bit of a shit show with deliveries on Amazon. So, you know, the earlier we start, you know, we shouldn't be waiting for Black Friday, Cyber Monday to be doing promotions and waiting to be making our money. We need to be you know, pretty much from tomorrow, once Prime Day finishes, is you know, get out there and promote, and you know, drive sales, drive rankings to you know, cash in.
And you brought up another good point, because we don't know what it's going to be like getting into Amazon. I have no idea. It could be 3 weeks. It could be 4 weeks. It could be 2 days, depending on where you're where they're receiving. But one of the, and we've said this on three different podcasts. It started with Kevin King a couple of weeks ago, and it went right through. I think everybody's mentioned this. For now, to make sure that you keep your ranking and to keep your sales going over the holidays, we're recommending that you do two listings. You do your FBA.
And I've actually done that, and I've never done that before, but I've got some product on the water now. And we don't know what the customs is going to be like. Hopefully it'll arrive in time, but I actually have a portion of that shipment is going to a fulfillment warehouse.
Right.
And I've created an FBM listing, because that's, I think it was Adam, what's his name? Adam Rehnquist on Heist, the Heist Report, which is one of the YouTube stars, you know, gurus, whatever that I follow. He did a really nice posting on this a couple of months ago, and I thought, that's something to do. And it's, but now, if you haven't done it yet, it may be too late, because a lot of the third party fulfillment warehouses are jam packed, and they're not taking on new customers and products. But that is something. I mean, if you're in the USA or in a position to do it yourself, you know, you definitely want to have that as a backup if you're not able to find a third-party fulfillment warehouse. I mean, obviously, it costs more to do your own FBM, but, you know, you want to be able to keep rank and make sales. You know, if Amazon shuts down its Christmas delivery, I mean, I know here in Australia, Australia Post has already said that December 12th is the last postage day that they will guarantee before Christmas delivery. So that's 2 weeks out. You know, we're used to Amazon delivering day of. Now, we don't know whether this year they're going to be in a position to do that. So we need to make plans for deliveries, not just because we can't get product in, but also because we may not be able to get product out in time.
The other thing too, even with the FBM, FBM, if they're asking, let's say it's being shipped out and you're looking at a week out, UPS could get backed up just as bad as everybody else, and they might deliver 2 or 3 weeks out as well.
It's global. I was saying, I had a shipment to an Amazon warehouse here in Australia the other day. I mean, I laugh, but it's not really funny. And it had to travel from my home, which is a Melbourne suburb, to another Melbourne suburb, probably about a 10 kilometer, maybe a 15 kilometer maximum distance. It took 10 weeks with Australia Post.
Wow.
You know, I could have walked it there faster. I don't know what happened to that particular shipment. I was going to give up. I thought it had gotten lost, and all of a sudden it's arrived. So I don't know whether that was Australia Post or whether it was sitting on the dock at the Amazon warehouse all that time. Also here in Australia, I've been giving refunds, you know, backwards and forwards, because people are just not getting their packages, you know, because the Australia Post has just been overwhelmed. So, and I think that's going to happen globally, really.
I wonder if you communicate that in an email, like on the initial email that goes out, that there could be some delays, you know, and to contact you if there is an issue. Because one of the things I was going to say, just before you were talking about your 10 week problem, risk evaluation. So something that you can do now is, if you think that this is going to be a problem later, already have an action plan on what you can do to, you know, correspond or do something to get rid of that plan. You know, if it is refunding or if it is putting out those emails, if you have that, if you think ahead, it's going to solve a lot of issues. So, we try to do that. We try to, if there's issues that we think could happen, we try to put together a plan ahead. And then that way, in our SOPs, just have to hit it, and this is what you have to do.
Contingency plans. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. So, Kels, is there any questions?
Uh, No questions, just some comments. We got Baptist saying thank you for your flow comp. He's saying a nice flow combination. Alec, Alec is saying a good one about chatbots, and it's a great tool to drive traffic. And I too have worked with many of his customers, or many of my customers. Some people talking about your newsletter. So yeah, Marina that signed up, and Laura.
All right.
Laura loves it.
Oh, perfect.
And that's it for now.
Okay. So at least there's nobody that says it sucks. But so it still stands
good.
That's
good. Excellent. Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to happen. We'll see that. Those two words.
Well, you know what? It's just instead of saying it sucks, you know, just unsubscribe. Easy.
Yep.
Easy.
There we go.
Problem solved. It doesn't suck anymore.
So let's switch gears a bit and let's talk about you as an entrepreneur. So what have been some of your biggest struggles?
My main issue all my life is I'm actually unemployable. So I didn't have a choice but to be an entrepreneur. I've pretty much been fired from every proper job I've ever had. I'm just not good at making nice with other people and listening to what they say when I think they're wrong. So I basically have, you know, had to be an entrepreneur and create my own opportunities as I've gone along, you know, and that's, you know, very much a personality trait. I've always said I'd rather do something that I really want to do than, you know, face the slog of working for someone else at something that I hate just to get a paycheck. So I started off, you know, back in the early days, I used to sell, listen to this, Norm, you're old enough to possibly remember the
dinosaurs.
No, SMI. Do you remember the Success Motivation Institute, SMI? Basically, it was books and tapes in a box.
Oh, okay.
It was a personal development product that and it was like cassette tapes. Shows you how old it was. It was cassette tapes, and I still have my cassette tapes that taught people how to set goals, and it was a positive mental attitude and goal-setting program that way back in the 80s was selling for over $2,000 Australian. So we're talking, wow. You know, these days it was a considerable amount of money, right? And so I was selling that, you know, direct as a, you know, commission salesperson. So that was sort of one of my first jobs. And that's where I really learned about, you know, people buying stuff and not using it. Because you'd be amazed again, you know, I guess $2,000 in the 80s is probably close to, you know, tens of thousands of dollars now, you know, to in equivalent money. And people would buy this briefcase full of stuff, and I'd follow up with them, you know, how you're going, you're setting your goals. And, you know, 8 times out of 10, they never actually opened that briefcase. It was often, you know, the decision that they made to invest in themselves was often enough, and I'd say, yep, doing great, haven't listened to anything, but I feel better. So I've sold that, I've sold insurance, I've sold cars, I've been sort of like in the sales and marketing, you know, niche pretty much from way back when. I took a little detour and decided to travel the world for 10 years. So I had the best job in the world. It's the one that I wasn't fired from, because I was a what do you call it? You know, I never actually worked for somebody. I worked as a tour, what in America you'd call a tour director or a tour leader. So I would take British people. I was working for a British company. I would take British people on holidays around the world. So I did that for 10 years. So I got to see some of this beautiful place we call the world. And also, you know, if you ever have problems with customers, if you're in the public domain and complain about your customers, the customer on holiday is a whole other level of of problem customers. So whatever complaints you get in your Amazon business are nothing compared to, you know, when you're stuck on a boat on a river in Russia and there's moldy bread on the table, you know, and you have, you know, 100 customers screaming at you going, this is not what I paid for. Oh. So That was a lot of fun. And funnily enough, I was talking to my daughter, you know, the other day, and we were talking about, you know, starting new things. And I found this to be really great, both when I got into travel and since in other things. You know, most of the things I've done, if I knew what I was getting myself into, I never would have done it. You know, it's almost like this, the fact that you're ignorant of what you're getting into, and you go in with excitement and you don't know what you can't do, so you just go ahead and do it. You know, so that's sort of really something that I've always done is, you know, I didn't know that I couldn't do it. You know, mm-hmm. I hopped on a train, talked myself into a job because I didn't know that you're not supposed to do that. And I spent 10 years traveling, and it was the same, you know, on Amazon. These days people focus very much on all of the problems. But if you didn't know what all the potential pitfalls are, and you just decided to go in and jump and bet on yourself, you'd probably do better than listening to, you know, nine out of 10 of the gurus out there these days. So I came back to Australia, 16 years ago after my 10 years of travel. And, you know, again, had to start from scratch. And I got myself into, I had a bit of money. So I actually spent all the money that I'd saved from my travels and got into retail. So I decided I was going to be in the fashion business. Never done it before. But, of course, I didn't know that you couldn't. So off I went, spent a lot of money, bought myself a retail business. And I, built that retail business. I wholesaled. I became a fashion designer. Because again, didn't know that I couldn't do it. So off I went. And I used to, you know, go to Europe and buy samples. You know, I was private labeling back in my retail business. I would go to Europe to buy product for my shop, and at the same time find samples that I liked. And I would, then go to Hong Kong and find fabrics that I liked. And so I would reinterpret the samples from the European fashion that I liked, and would have them made up in China to my own specifications. So I was actually, you know, private labeling way before I got into Amazon. And so I did that for about 10 years. 10 years seems to be my timeline of doing things. So then I saw the Amazon opportunity. So all of the things that I'd learned in my retail business, the customer service, the marketing, mm-hmm. the private labeling, the mm-hmm. dealing with Chinese suppliers, all of those things that I already knew how to do, I transferred them across into my Amazon business. I just thought it was such a great, great opportunity for, you know, a different way to do retail.
Kels, is there a question? Yep. I think Nathan's got something.
Yep. So Nathan, he's asking, have you failed any? Have any failed products? Anything you'd do again?
Look, you know, some products are really successful when they start, and then they peter out. And some products don't do as well as you'd hope. I don't think anything is a failure, but I have had products that I haven't restocked. You know, mm-hmm. for example, a couple of years ago, I did some toys, and I got the same toy that was aimed at boys and one that was aimed at girls. And, you know, I thought that was great for both. And funnily enough, the one that was aimed at the boys just absolutely, well, I can't say it was bombed, but it failed to sell in the volumes that I would have liked. And yet the girls one, I still restock. So you just don't know. And I did exactly the same thing in terms of the marketing and the launching and everything. And for some reason, the girls one is still moving and the boys one is not. What else have I had that's failed? I did a product that I actually found in my search term reports. I found that people who were buying my product were searching for a complimentary product. They were searching for a complimentary product, showed up in my search term reports. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Didn't know what that was. Found it, sourced it, manufactured it. Couldn't sell couldn't sell it. So yeah, you know, it's not everything works, right? But that's part of business. That's any, you know, when I was in fashion, I would buy things in Europe that would go, oh my God, this is amazing. And I'd buy it, I'd bring it to Australia, and I couldn't sell it for love nor money. And then, because often, you know, European fashions are ahead, and I would find 3 years later, when I would sort of already got rid of it, all of a sudden mainstream stores were selling that particular style. So sometimes you're a little bit ahead, sometimes you're a little bit behind the market, and sometimes you just get it wrong. But, you know, that's the ups and downs of entrepreneurship. Yeah, if you didn't have the failures, you wouldn't be able to appreciate the successes, right?
Exactly. So I call it paying your tax.
Yeah.
You know, you just learn. You're constantly learning every time you launch a product. And I know some of your products, and they're very good quality. But sometimes, you know, even if they're a great quality product, in that niche, something might be wrong. Who knows?
Yep.
But
other competitors come in. You know, when I first launched my product, I made a huge improvement to the category, and it didn't take long for everybody to copy me. So, you know, this was before we were getting, you know, patents and things, and everybody, if I was to do the same thing now, I'd make sure I, you know, protect it. But, you know, back then I didn't even think of that sort of stuff. So, you know, because I launched a premium product in my space. Hey, Sharon. I launched something that was a huge improvement to the product in that space. And, of course, everybody jumped on board. Copied my photographs. So it was hilarious. There was one time where, you know, because I have my own photographs taken, and I use myself, I use my sister, I use my daughter, I use my nephews, I use my mother in my listing. So, you know, we're a family affair. And there was one of them, there was my hand was actually in the photograph. And I saw, you know, a Chinese listing popped up that actually, and I recognized my hand. And so I sent them a cease and desist for using my photo. You know, they'd photoshopped a few of the, you know, the product out, but there was still my hand was in their photograph. So they went back and they photoshopped it further by changing the nail polish and taking out some of the wrinkles in my hand. So, you know, but these things happen, you know, and it doesn't matter how good your product is. Somebody else can do something that's different, you know, and things, as I said, you know, every product has got its ups and downs.
So, right. I just saw that message from Faye. Thank you very much, Faye. I hope you enjoy it. Next question would be, if there's something that you can just say that you've done over the last few years that you would never do again on Amazon, off Amazon, what would you do? What would you tell new sellers don't do? It's a loaded question.
It is a loaded question. I guess my most costly, and again, I don't call it a mistake, but learning was, because I had such amazing early success, I invested too heavily in inventory. So rather than doing frequent turns of smaller orders, I got very excited and went, you know, oh my God, you know, I'm just going to go full out. And I invested in, you know, huge inventory orders in order to, what I thought, you know, to save money, you know, because my factory said, well, if you order 10,000, you get this. But if you order, you know, 20,000 units, you'll get to this price. I thought, yeah, great, you know, give it all to me, give it to me. And that was probably one of the biggest issues that I've had, because it tied up my cash flow. And then, you know, things change. And so that huge inventory order, it got held up. So I wasn't able to get some of it in time to profit from holiday sales. And, you know, there was various knock-on effects from that. So that's probably my biggest advice, is to really watch your cash flow and monitor your stock turn and inventory levels. And it's hard, because, you know, we're trying to read a crystal ball. you know, because you don't want to run out. But at the same time, you know, you don't want to be overstocked. And it's a really fine, fine balance, you know, that's pretty much, I think, a big part of this Amazon business, which, you know, most people don't talk to you about, is the inventory management side of things, because that's sort of, right, you know, very heavy. So I guess that's probably one of my biggest mistakes was over-investing in inventory and being overconfident in it, you know. But at the time, I didn't think I was, because mm-hmm. things were going so great and I was, you know, selling so fast and everything was just going amazingly until it doesn't. Or it slows down.
And you know, when you start praying.
You know, and then, you know, there was that one year where my accountant said, well, Regina, you've made this much money. And I'm like, well, okay, where is it? You know, it's certainly not in my bank account. You know, I've got to pay tax on it. But yeah. Where is it? And when I looked at where it was all sitting in warehouses. Mm-hmm. So the cash flow is something that's it's a constant thing that we as Amazon sellers and, you know, any retailers really need to have a very careful and tight hold on.
Chelsea Cohen, do you know what she's doing? You know her app, So Stocked?
I've heard of Chelsea. I don't know her personally.
She was on a little while ago. We weren't so much talking about So Stocked, but mm-hmm. it's a great app, like for inventory or supply chain management. Yeah. Very inexpensive. I think it's like $59 a month. Nice. Yeah, we've taken a look at it. I don't have anything to do with Chelsea's company.
I think Helium 10 has launched some kind of, or is it launching some kind of inventory?
Yeah, I think they are too. Yeah.
They are, yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen anything.
I don't know anything about it. I know somebody who's testing it out at the moment. I'm just waiting to hear back from
that. That is, I know Chelsea's is a very inexpensive inventory uh-huh. management system that uh-huh. allows you to do all these projections and a combination of shipping. Mm-hmm. So anyways, that's, you could check that out. It's called sostock.com. I think it's probably one of the least expensive apps out there mm-hmm. for inventory management. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this, hearing what you were just talking about, you know, just the amount that you were sending over at one time, mm-hmm. Afolabi, who's my partner in Honu, he was mm-hmm. telling me that he was talking to an 8-figure seller that mm-hmm. The way that they were shipping things over, that he was able to save them, get this, $800,000 a year, because they were shipping over basically all at once. And by breaking mm-hmm. up the shipments into intervals, mm-hmm. that it was able to save them time, money, it was, and their cash flow loosened up.
Cash flow, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, what else? And, Victor's talking about something about helium 10s. I can't read.
Oh, he basically said helium 10 has potential, but is nowhere near as powerful as sostock.com. Thank you, Victor, for that feedback.
Got it. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. So now we're running into the COVID mom.
Oh.
How are you handling this? Like, are you doing anything different than what you would normally do? I know we love to travel and meet and have fun.
Oh, look, eating lots of chocolate, carbo loading. You know, I know some people have taken to the drink. I'm not a drinker. I'm a, you know, my bags of chocolate biscuits. Look, to be honest, Norm, the lack of travel, you know, I do miss a little bit, but, you know, mm-hmm. as I was saying before, I've done a lot of travel in my life. So so if I don't get on a plane again, it doesn't really bother me. Of course, I miss, you know, seeing my friends, you know, like you and, you know, some of the great events that I've been to. However, for me personally, the lack of travel, it doesn't really bother me. And you know, the whole isolation thing, well, that's pretty much what I do anyway. It doesn't really bother me. And I'm happy to stay 6 feet away from everybody for pretty much the rest of my life. It doesn't bother me. However, as a mother of a tween, I guess they call them, preteen, COVID has been hit very hard in our house. We've pretty much, until this week, we were online learning from March. That's a long time. You know, the social isolation for my daughter has been particularly hard. And we've had sort of a period, you know, the last couple of months where her mental health was not good, at all. And of course, you know, as a parent, that meant, you know, that my mental health was affected in trying to help her. And I know there's a lot of children and adults too who have been affected by the isolation. You know, I think at 11, you know, with puberty starting to kick in, and being away from friends and just having, you know, just me as the good cop, bad cop, teacher, mentor, you know, that's it's tough. It's tough for a person. So it has been, you know, so in my house, that's the main negative effect that COVID has had. You know, my business has done well from COVID, you know, especially here in Australia, funnily enough, more so in Australia than in other territories. But you know, I've done well. I've been fortunate to, you know, not as well as some of my friends who are selling home exercise equipment. But nevertheless, you know, I can't complain. No, I don't like Tim Tams, Laura. Too much biscuit, not enough chocolate. Although they do make the dark chocolate ones now. What was I saying? Yes. So the mental health of my child has been a real struggle, to the point where, you know, we've had to get outside help in. And, you know, we've got child psychologists involved now. And so my hope is that as we come out of COVID, that, you know, people who are struggling with mental health are able to get help and able to get strategies that will see them through for the rest of their life. And that's very much what I'm hoping for my daughter, is that this will help build her resilience moving forward. And that the help that she's getting from the professionals will give her tools and strategies that will, you know, stay with her and be of help. Because I've got the tools and strategies, but because I'm her mother, she won't listen to me. So it needs to come from the outside. You know, I've got bookshelves full. As I said, you know, 30 years ago, I was selling, you know, personal development product, and it's very much an area that I'm involved with and I love. And so I give her tools and strategies, but because they come from me, you know, they don't get listened to or implemented. So it does have to come from an outside source. So that's really been the main struggle, you know, aside from getting shipments out of China. But, you know, we get over that. That's business. Mm-hmm. But the bigger issue has been, you know, my daughter's mental health. And hopefully now that school is back, we started back this week, that's going to, you know, improve. You know, the rest of the lockdowns, as I said, I'm happy to stay in my bunker and 6 feet away from people for forever, as long as school is back and my daughter is fine.
Right. We did a podcast a little while ago with Brian Hansel, and he has a foundation called the Paul Hansel Foundation. You might want to check it out. It was all about mental health and coping during COVID. But he's got something called the Convo Plate, and it's a fundraiser for the foundation, but it's also meant to stimulate thought about mental health. And if you want, just check it out. It was probably, probably a month ago that we did it, but it was Paul Hansel, and he was talking about Convo Plates. So, very, very great guy. I've known him for 25 years, and he's gone through hell. But he, out of hell, came up with this foundation. So, anyways, check it out if you're interested. Now, I'm kind of curious about, we've got intermediate experts, but we also have new people on the call. You're an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, working out of the house. Talk about the advantage. Now, the experts or the advanced people or the intermediate people, pipe in, because I really want to, you know, tell people that are looking for jobs, that are out of work, what are the advantages of working online?
How long have we got? Look, online is I mean, I'm so thankful I'm not in retail, let me tell you. You know, I got out of retail 4 years ago. And this year, you know, I've been thankful for a long time, but this year in particular, you know, the advantages of working online is, A, you know, I love working for myself. But it takes a certain personality because there's risks involved in working for yourself because your income is goes up and down. So you have to have a reasonably high risk tolerance. However, the rewards are in your mental freedom, freedom to, when we're able to travel, to work from pretty much anywhere you like, to be self-reliant, and to be on the cutting edge. And, in the current circumstances, there's parts of the world that are going into a second lockdown. I mean, Australia, we're coming out of one, but, Europe seems to be going into a lot of lockdowns that, people are working from home. People are looking to do things from home. There are so many opportunities, e-commerce, people have said that in the last sort of 7 months, e-commerce is the rate that it's grown. It would take, 5 to 10 years normally. So we've accelerated, home shopping. We've accelerated online learning. We've accelerated, anything really to do with online. People are not spending time going to the shopping centres, and I think some of that is going to be long-term behavioural change. And so working for myself and being able to take advantage of some of the changes that are going on, that are going to be long-term, we're not going to go back to how it was before in all ways, post-COVID, however long that takes. I mean, here in Australia, it looks like we're not going to be able to travel probably for at least 6 to 12 months before we're allowed to leave the country. We have to make other plans. So, post-COVID world is going to look different in a lot of ways, a lot of the things we took for granted. So, working for yourself, you're able to pivot. And I've seen a lot of that. People are doing a lot more online learning, and a lot more people are moving their areas of expertise into online training, and that's an area that's been of great interest to me. As I said, I've put together a little training course. I actually did it pre-COVID, but nevertheless, there's a lot of people out there that are, whatever they are. I bumped in the post office the other day, one of my school mums, and she was a laughter yoga teacher. And she was saying that she's actually given up her studio. She's moved all of her business online, and she's not going to go back to in-person training even once things open, because things have just gone so well online. She runs live courses, and she's developed a training. So no matter what your area of expertise, there's opportunities now for you to be able to market yourself to a bigger world through online and e-commerce. So whether that's on Amazon or on, one of the other numerous platforms, there's so many different ways to be able to, support your family in, online. I think it's, if I was 21 again now, oh, my God, the things I'd do, But, I'm lazy. I always take the path of least resistance. It's like, what's the least amount of work I can do to get the biggest bang for my buck? And Amazon is still absolutely a great way to do that. In terms of driving outside traffic, find one way. We can't be a jack of all trades. We need to, pick one and go deep into it.
Great advice. So we're at the top of the hour. Last tip, just if there's anything that you can add to what you've already said.
Look, I think that the biggest thing is just to really just take the leap and jump. If you didn't know what you couldn't do, what would you do?
Right.
I think that's such a great philosophy to have, because the biggest obstacles we have in our life are generally in our own minds. So we need to get out of our own way and take the leap and sort of create the life that you imagine for yourself. Really, that's it. If you didn't know what you couldn't do, what would you do?
Right. That's, I was talking with Isabella Hamilton.
Mm. Basically, oh, love Isabella. Yeah. You know,
another boss lady, right?
Another boss lady, yeah. Like, yeah. She's awesome. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, between you, her, Melissa Simonson, all these boss ladies. Regina, how can people get a hold of you, your podcast, your course?
Yeah, look, my podcast is Women on Amazon. I have a Facebook group called, wait for it, Women on Amazon. It's not exclusive to women. So, you know, please, it's welcome one and all. The aim of both the podcast and the group was to amplify women's voices in the space, but it's certainly not an exclusive women's space. The best way to contact me is, but you know, I live on Facebook and Facebook Messenger. So, you know, I'm the only Regina Peterbergsky there is. So I'm pretty easy to find. So you can feel free to reach out if you want information about my chatbots, or if I've got sort of I just designed a little free chatbot workflow checklist. If you want to grab that, nice. send me a message and I'll send it across to you. So, as I said, just Facebook Messenger me. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest way to get in touch. I'm also on LinkedIn. That's one of the other places I tend to hang out. So you can message me via LinkedIn. But yeah, podcast and Facebook group is where I spend most of my time.
Okay, very good. Let's see. Thank you, everybody. I see Simon, Baptiste, Marina. Thank you for joining. Everybody, thank you for joining. We appreciate you taking your time out of the day. And you, Regina, 4 o'clock in the morning. You are a trooper.
I'm not sure I'm going to go back to bed or we'll just stay up now.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry. I'm going to send you over a coffee.
All good. It's all good. I'm doing the same thing tomorrow with Danny McMillan. So, you know.
Get some sleep.
It's all fun. It's all fun and games. No, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, Norm, for having me.
Hey, no problem. We got to have you back. Okay, everybody. Thank you for joining the podcast today. If you're looking for the whole episode or any other episodes, you can always go to Norm Farrar, a.k.a. The Beard Guy. That's my Facebook page. If you're looking for video, you can go to our YouTube channel, Norm Farrar, and you'll see a ton of reposts, highlight clips. This is Kelsey's job. He posts, he posts 24 hours a day, basically, to get you guys content. Kelsey, where are you? Speaking of the...
I'm right here.
There he is, the postmaster.
Hi, thank you for watching, everyone. Hope you guys enjoyed. So most important thing right now is you'll see this pop up right here. Just a second. We've got a Facebook group.
There we go.
Finally, right? So I did post the link in the comment section on the YouTube, Facebook, in the two Facebooks. So you should be able to find them. Just to go over a few things, if you'd like to stay with me, people. So first of all, you may have noticed new thumbnails for the YouTube and Facebook. So I hope you guys like them, kind of like freshen it up a little bit.
I think they're great.
I really dove into the lunch part of things. But yeah, so the Facebook group, it's Lunch with Norm, the Amazon FBA and e-commerce collective. We'll be diving into everything Amazon and e-commerce, as well as talking about the shows. So right now I just put up a post discussion for this episode. So if you have any thoughts, opinions, comments, you can go ahead and go there and talk about them. We'll invite all the past guests too into the show. So I think the only thing you need to do to be a part of the group is there's three things. Email, just to say thank you, keep you involved. There's a challenge, what's your biggest challenge, and what do you hope to gain from the group? So those are the three things you need to join. And oh, Kelsey, you're doing great. Oh, thank you, Michelle. It means so much. You can introduce yourself on the page. We want to get lots of engagement, build this community with you guys. Hopefully you enjoy. I'll be on there talking to you guys. I know Norm will be on there too. We're excited to see where this goes, and it's our little baby. So yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And we've already got a bit of engagement going on in there right now. But we really want to, again, spread out content and bring people together that are in different areas of the business. So if you need help with social media, or if you do need help with maybe putting together a Shopify store outside of Amazon, you'll have somewhere to talk. It's not just Amazon focused. So I think that's probably it. Oh, remember the newsletter? It doesn't suck. I noticed that a few people have joined it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But if you want to get ongoing content, again, even more content, we're curating it from like Neil Patel, Digital Marketer. There's a variety of different high quality sites out there, so we can help you become a better seller online. I think that's probably it for today, Kels.
I think that's it. Yeah. If you haven't yet, please like and share. If you want to listen to this on the podcast, Apple and Spotify. And yeah, the group, it's not going to be like spammy posts. No. It's all going to be about conversations. Yeah. All conversations, discussions, advice, opinions. So if you got anything, you throw them in there. We're going to be a little family. So it's going to be great. And yeah, perfect. That's it.
All right. Okay, so Tuesday?
Not Tuesday.
Huh?
Friday. Oh, sorry. I made a mistake.
Okay. Friday. Thanks, Kels. Right. They're going to dock your pay on that one. Coming up on Friday, we're going to be joined by eBay Platinum Power Seller, John Lawson. So this is going to be interesting. We're going to be talking about eBay and other forms of social media strategies for Amazon. So please tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, not Tuesday. Monday, Wednesday, Friday at noon Eastern Central Time. And have a great day. I knew I have to screw it up. I always do that at least once a podcast, mess things up. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time. 100, 100, 100.